As the year comes to an end, a lot of people are looking for work or maybe looking to change jobs and not sure just how do you sell yourself. Well, people think at the end of the year no one's hiring, but the truth is a lot of people have free time in their hands as they're waiting to get to the holidays. So if you can get yourself in front of them, well, you may get yourself the interview and hence the job. But first and foremost, you've got to get yourself in front of the people who are doing the hiring. We often do that through networking, but we always do it with a resume. Everyone wants to see your resume no matter who knows you, how well they know you, and what the job is. The question is today, what should your resume look like? Should it be full of colors? Should it have pictures on it? Should it be online only? Should it change for every job? There are lots of questions to be asked about a resume, and often on our job line, the first Wednesday of the month, we'll spend a couple minutes at the end of the hour chatting a little bit, and we did so with the guest we have today for the whole hour, Brenda Bernstein. We thought that this deserved more than 5 or 10 minutes, so we're giving an hour to the resume, the concept of the resume, the purpose of the resume, how to do it and how not to. Brenda Bernstein joins me in our Milwaukee studios. She's the founder and senior editor of The Essay Expert and has been helping people for over a decade and a half cull their lives into a page or two for a resume. Some people have 6-page resumes. Should you have that? We'll talk to her and you about this hour. At Issue's phone number, if you want to be on the air, 800-486-8655. Brenda, welcome to At Issue. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ben. It's good to be here.
Why do we have resumes when we have the ability to speak to people, meet them, sit down and interview with them? Why do they have to have a listing of who we are and what we've done?
Well, we got to come up with some way to present ourselves efficiently to someone who might be interested in hiring us. And the resume has come to be that efficient method of presenting everything that we can about ourselves in 1 to 2 pages. Usually, they can be a little bit longer sometimes, as you just alluded to. I've seen 3- and 4-page resumes that have gotten people jobs. But the resume is this place where people can go and say, boom, 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 I see what I want. I don't see what I want. Make a quick decision. Do I want to know more about this person? And if it's a no, it goes in the no pile. And if it's a yes, we read more. Talking to people takes some time. So if you're getting 1,000 resumes for one position, you're not going to be able to talk to every single one of those people, and you have to figure out a faster way to weed through and choose the ones you want.
You want to stand out. So I remember, well, when I was in college, I thought, I'm going to stand out. I had a 6-page resume. I was a junior in college. Imagine what stuff I was putting on there. And then I saw resumes in the course of my careers, and some of them were, most of them are black type on white paper, but sometimes they're white type on black paper or colored paper. Some have pictures on them. We can get online and design our own resume now. We're all graphic designers with the internet. Are we still better off with that nice, clean, white paper, black type, easy font to read, 1.5 to 2-page resume?
In some professions, yes. The two that jump to mind, well, maybe even the three that jump to mind, are the legal profession, which is still pretty conservative with the resumes. Finance is still pretty conservative. You're a CPA or accountant, or if you're in insurance. Those three fields tend to be pretty conservative, and I would generally stick with either black on white, or maybe a little bit of a blue or maroon would be acceptable, but you're not going to go too crazy.
We don't orange on purple?
No. I don't think you're going to get a job as a corporate attorney with that.
Typical resume, name at the top, maybe name, address, and email and website, and then professional goal, current job or latest job, and then successive jobs going backwards as long as you care to go, and then education, special interest, hobbies, and you're done. That was sort of when I was coming out of college, this was what we were told 30 years ago. This is how a resume should be. Still pretty much that way for most?
One big change that's happened is that professional goal or objective has really dropped off to a large extent off of the resume. There are some people who still put some form of that, but it's more encompassed within a summary. But you do want to be able to tell what position the person's applying for by looking at their resume. Sometimes all that takes is to put a title right at the top of the resume that says project manager. And then you know, so you don't have to say, my goal is to become a project manager, blah, 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 blah. You just say project manager. Then you write a summary of what you've accomplished as a project manager in the past. I really recommend not using summary statements that sound like dynamic, detail-oriented, or results oriented with a proven track record, because that's not going to make you stand out. Everyone is using those terms. LinkedIn just put out an article about the most overused buzzwords on LinkedIn, which is now sort of an electronic resume. And those are the same words you just don't want to overuse on your resume. They're not going to make you stand out. So instead, right at the top of the resume in your summary, start talking about the actual things that make you different from other candidates.
So there's a summary, but it is what makes me unique. So I put something there?
That's what I always attempt to do in the summary, is to write something that distinguishes this person from everyone else. And you can see some of the samples of my resumes on my website, which is www.theessayexpert.com. So if you want to see some samples of summaries that are a little bit different than maybe what you've seen in the past on a typical resume, you can go and look and see how that might look.
So what we are talking about, do's and don'ts, you don't necessarily need to have your professional goal statement at the top of the resume. What do you have to have at the top of the resume?
You still need to have your name. Yes, name is good. Spell it right, your name.
You're serious? People are misspelling their name?
You never know what could happen.
Well, the other thing about that is, in the old days, you would get your resume all set up. So maybe someone would typeset it for you. They'd print it. You have 1,000 resumes. You go out into the world. Today, we're all doing that at home. So hopefully you're checking each time to make sure you've spelled your name right. But do you have a different resume for each job app?
You do have a different resume, possibly for every single job application. If you have time to do that, it is worth your while to spend time tailoring your resume specifically to a particular position. If you don't have enough time to do that for every specific job in different company, you at least need to do it. If you're applying for some jobs that might be project manager and another one that might be a planner or scheduler, there might be slightly different things that you'd want to emphasize between one resume and the next. So in that case, you probably do want to have two different resumes. There is no one-size-fits-all resume. So we hear this a lot now. And it's really true. Every job description, especially if you're applying to a big company, those job descriptions have keywords in them, and there are computers looking at your resume to see if you match the keywords in that particular job description. So if you're sending your resume in through a computer system, it absolutely is worth your time to make sure you have the right keywords for that job.
So I would go to the job description. The job description says they want a meeting planner. They want someone who plays basketball, and someone who drinks bottled water. So my resume needs to have bottled water, basketball, and in the job title in those at the
yes,
top, so the
now,
computer will see those buzzwords.
The tricky thing is that's what you as a human being would figure out from reading that job description.
Right.
The fact is, it's not always human beings who are choosing the words that are going to be looked for in the resume. Sometimes it is, but at the very big companies like Google, they don't have time to have a human being maybe punch in the right keywords for each position. So it might be a computer that's looking at the job description and choosing the keywords and choosing keyword phrases. So it could be the end of one sentence leading into the beginning of another sentence that the computer decides is the keyword and you've got to look for. And that's why really to do an online job search in today's market, you need to use some computer software to help. And there is a program that helps with that. There's probably a few of them. And the one that I'm most familiar with is called PrepTel, which is P like Paul, R-E-P like Paul, T-E-L, PrepTel. And that is a free service. And you can go and find out whether your resume is being read properly by the computers. You can also get a listing of the crazy keyword strings that the computers might be looking for in your resume.
Could you put your resume into the PrepTel program and it'll come back and tell you what the computer will get out of what you've written?
Exactly. It'll tell you how much is being read and how much isn't. Because you can have a resume that has all the right keywords, all the best experience, and the computer could spit it back and not recognize it because it's not formatted correctly or something along those lines. The other important thing I want to say about those computers is a lot of times, even if you're really highly qualified for the position, the computer might be looking for something very, very specific, like a particular degree that you got in your education. And if you don't have it, the computer rejects it. And I had a client who found a job through networking and was asked to apply for a job. When they put her resume through the computer system, it rejected it. But she got the job because she had networked her way into the job. So that is something that's so important to emphasize. Don't just rely on your resume when you're looking for jobs. Don't just send out your resume and think you're going to get a job. You need to do the networking, because the same resume that will get you the job through networking will not get you the job if you just send it in online.
So you've got your name at the top. You may have some statement about your unique qualifications for the position, which you tailor to that job. And again, historically, you would put your most current job and describe what you did and then go back down chronologically in reverse order.
Yes.
I told you before the show, somebody just sent me their resume out of the blue, and they emailed me just saying, I sent my resume to you, and I wasn't sure why they did it. I didn't read it, though. There were no dates. There were no company names. It was all skills and abilities and just listed. It's kind of hard to read, but I was wondering, wow, that's not how I would write a resume, and I'm wondering if that is how you would.
It sounds like a functional resume, what would be termed as a functional resume. And also, I do want to say that it's not just your name that you put at the top of the resume. You do need to have at least your city and state. You might not need nowadays to have your actual snail mail address, because no one's going to really send you mail very much anymore. But you want to have your city and state, your email address, your phone, so that people can contact you. By the time you get to the experience section, it's still highly recommended, if at all possible, to write your experience from your most recent and then go backward, just as you were suggesting. The functional resume that focuses on skills rather than on positions and chronology is not well accepted in the hiring world. I haven't heard of anyone who prefers to get that kind of resume. I do not write them. There are resumes that are a hybrid of the two, and sometimes that's appropriate. Maybe you put a quick list of your just your job company and title and dates, and just list them 1, 2, 3. And you will see some examples of that also on my website in my samples. But after that, you do need to talk about your actual accomplishments that you did at each of those positions. It's just much more, it's more absorbable for the person reading it. And I mean, you wrote this thing and you couldn't tell what was going on. Well, I see you have those skills, but how did you apply them? And I see you had this accomplishment, but did you do that at Pizza Hut, or at Jones Day, you know? And you can't tell unless there's that chronology.
We talk about resumes. We get to your calls next. Brenda Bernstein, our guest, founder of The Essay Expert. Her website linked at WPR.org or essayexpert.com. TheEssayExpert.com, right?
With the T-H-E at the beginning.
800-486-8655. Lines open. Your comments and questions about the resumes you've written, why they're working or not, or maybe you hire. And you want to talk a little bit about the resumes you're getting. 800-486-8655. So glad you're listening to Ad Issue. I'm Ben Marins, and you're tuned to the Ideas Network. Glad to have you listening to Ad Issue this afternoon. We talk about how to build your resume and write it in such a way that the talents you have are the talents that the people looking to hire get and they understand. And you also have to get to the computer and make sure the computer that scans your resume understands what you've done. That's probably the trickiest part of all this these days. Tomorrow on Ad Issue, we turn our attentions from resumes to, well, I guess you could call it a baseball resume. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame, some of the nominations that are somewhat controversial because of the history of the players, such as Roger Clemens and Sammy Sosa. We'll talk baseball tomorrow at 3, and who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame and who does not. This hour, we talk about your resume at 800-486-8655. Brenda Bernstein, our guest, to talk about, she also has a new book out about LinkedIn, how to write a killer LinkedIn profile. And we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll get your calls about resumes. One question I want to ask you, because it seems in this day and age, a paper resume, while it makes sense, everything seems to be geared to the internet. And more people like to be entertained by what we get them. So I'm wondering if we should be doing some sort of video and resume where I would take my camera and film me saying, hi, I'm Ben Marins. I'm looking to be your next project manager. I've worked for 15 years as a project manager at Acme Inc. And I went to school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I got my master's degree at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I, you know, just give them a 3-minute video clip. And I'm wondering if that's not there now, if you think that's where it's all going.
I think that things probably are heading a little more in that direction. Although every trend has its lifetime and then it ends. There are not very many people doing that right now. And so when a hiring manager receives a resume that's either a video of a person speaking or maybe as a PowerPoint resume. If anyone's interested, you can just even Google PowerPoint resumes and you'll see all kinds of different things that people have done. Right now, it's really refreshing for someone to receive something like that. And people do actually get jobs because, especially people like graphic designers need to put together something interesting mm-hmm. that shows off their talent. Maybe a salesperson or a project manager, depending on the profession, again, can really put something together that's different. Plus, if you imagine someone who sits there and looks at hundreds of resumes every day, at some point they're going to go, oh, I can't look at another one of these. But if they get a little video on their computer, they might go, oh, this is different. Let me just click on that and open it up.
You did something very interesting just now. You pantomimed someone holding the resume. I'm assuming when you email in for that job, they're not printing them and holding them anymore. They're looking them on the screen. Are they printing them off and actually holding them still?
Often they are. It depends on the person. Everyone has their own style. It gets hard to read things on a computer screen all day. So I think a lot of things do get printed out. But that's another thing. Very few people send paper resumes. So if you send a paper resume on that, like the olden days, how we used to do it, you know, the bond paper.
Right.
That will actually make it to someone's desk in a different way and might grab some attention, too.
We've got attention from callers. We'll start with Tony in Fond du Lac. Tony, good afternoon. You're on the air with Brenda Bernstein.
Hi. Thank you very much. I'm curious about salary history. As you see more and more requests for them, and over the years, I've looked in dozens of books. I've looked online. I've never been able to find an example of a salary history, and wondering if there are right and wrong ways to do those as well. I've even had people, recruiter people, tell me, yeah, don't bother with that.
Well, you wouldn't put a salary history on a resume if that's the question. Salary
well,
does not.
That I was, but how do you format it, and would you attach it to the resume? Or
if you're asked for a salary history, the first thing to do is avoid providing it, which is possibly why you're not finding a lot of information on that. And I think that recruiter gave you a probably good advice not to enclose it unless you're just really put to the fire and they say you can't apply for this job unless you give us a salary history. What you want to do with salary is just look up the standard salary, what might be the norm for the position that you're looking for, and just say, you know what, I understand that this is the industry standard and I'm interested in being paid at the industry standard, and I'm sure that you're going to be very fair in your compensation and benefits, and leave it at that. Salary history, it's really never going to help you very much to provide it.
Where do you find that, by the way?
Where do you find
I want
the
to find my
industry?
Project manager industry
oh,
standard
there are websites like payscale.com that you can go to. But if you just look at a salary, like industry standards for salary and your position, just Google it and you'll find a bunch of websites where you can get that information.
Tony, good luck. Thanks for the call. To Oregon next. Dave, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ben and your guest. I just thought I'd share a couple things that I learned when I was interviewing and looking to make a career change. It's been over 20 years since I was doing this, but I was working with a national counseling firm, and they helped me learn a couple things. For one, to actually put together a resume where there is a lot more vision to where you want to go. The counselor told me most resumes read like an obituary and tell where you've been, and they don't give a vision of where you want to go. And so I'd say it was kind of a combination of what's already been described with having a listing of what you know to be your talents, your skills and gifts, but definitely then with a career objective laid out and then chronologically showing where you've demonstrated and utilized those skills and accomplished different things. And then secondly, just the whole art of networking and how to approach folks, companies you may want to work for, but they aren't necessarily advertising for a position, but you have an opportunity to get in front of them for 30 minutes and have kind of a informational interview and just talk about the skills you bring to the table. And definitely I found in the jobs I was able to land, I was able to kind of be in the right place at the right time where they were able to create a position for me because of what I brought to the table and what they were looking at doing.
Yeah, I really like the first point that you made about that your resumes are about your future. And I'm actually working on a book about resumes right now. And my first – it's a 50 tips about resumes, and the first one is write for the future. It's a common misperception that resumes are about what you've done in the past. And, I mean, of course, in some ways they are, but you always need to be thinking about what is your future going to be. What is a potential employer going to want to know about how you are going to perform in the future? And they base how they think that you're going to perform in the future on how you performed in the past. So if you're writing a resume from the perspective of the future, then that's going to lead you to do a few things. You're going to write bullets that have detail and that are going to demonstrate your capability to achieve measurable results because that's what you've done in the past. And so, again, the employer is going to infer if you've done it in the past, you can do it for them. You're also going to think about the purpose of every item on your resume and the priority of every item on your resume. And you're going to choose how you arrange things. Again, you know, we talked a little about how to arrange things on your resume. As much as possible, you want to put the most important things first. What's most important? The things that are going to get you your next job, the things that your next employer is going to think are important about you.
We're going to explore more of this on the other side of the news. Dave, thanks. I appreciate your call. If you're on hold, I'm going to ask you to stay there. If you'd like to be on hold, the number is 800-486-8655. Brenda Bernstein, our guest this hour, she's founder and senior editor at The Essay Expert. She talks to us about how to write a resume, how to put your LinkedIn profile together. How to get the job you want. 800-486-8655. How you join us? Take a break for news, and then there's more at issue. The first Wednesday of every month, we have a job line where we try to connect people looking to hire and people looking to get hired. Toward that end, this hour, we talk with Brenda Bernstein about putting your resume together. And if you have questions on LinkedIn, she works on that too. Brenda Bernstein is the founder and senior editor of The Essay Expert, coming up with a finished a book on LinkedIn and working on a book on resume. So all of that fodder that she's well-versed in and has been coaching people on for 15 years. Your comments and questions to her are welcome at 800-486-8655. Brenda, again, appreciate you coming across the state to sit in our studios with me. And before we go back to the phones, what is something you see on resumes often? You cringe every time you see them, and you're amazed that we're still putting that on our resume.
One of the things I see is typos. I'm always amazed that people misspell things, like they write extracurricular activities and it's spelled incorrectly, or they spell achievements wrong.
Even in this day and age of spell check, they get.
Yeah, there are lots of spelling errors, and they spell manager, manger, and people's job titles are wrong on their resumes. So that's one thing. The other thing is listing of job duties without any mention of what the accomplishments were. People say responsible for X, Y, and Z, and it looks like they've just copied and pasted their job description onto the resume. Now, there are a lot of people who have that job description who might be applying for that job, but you don't know the difference between them. The way to really make an impression with the resume is to talk about what you accomplished with numbers, how you made a difference, what it looked like before, what it looks like after you were there. Why are you special? Why should we hire you? So when I see that responsible for blah, blah, duties included, that always disappoints me when I see it on resumes, and it's very common.
Back to the phones we go. Olivia in Milwaukee next. Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. I was just wondering, is it okay that I got let go from a job, it was unfair. How I was let go, and if I decide to leave that out of my resume, would you say that that's okay? If I have holes in my resume, because maybe if that happens, say I'm someone else who has that.
How long were you at that job?
A year and, 4 months.
Well, I wouldn't leave it off your resume. That's a pretty big amount of time, and you probably did accomplish some things during that time. So I would just put that job on your resume. Write all the positive things that you can on that on the resume about what you accomplished there and leave it at that.
Okay.
And the other thing for people to know is that when you're applying for a new job, at some point, if that company is interested in you, they're going to do a search on your salary history. They can find out whether you were employed. So by leaving a job off your resume, you could actually be – and you could end up being caught in a lie of some sort, and you never want to do that because they're going to find out that you were paid, you had a paycheck from somewhere. So you're not going to be able to just hide the fact that you worked at a place.
Good luck, Olivia. Appreciate the call.